This episode of The Real Dirt is sponsored by CannaCraft, leading the way in cannabis science, California. Today's Dirt is sponsored by Denver Consulting.
All right, here we are with The Real Dirt with Chip Baker. On today's Dirt, I have Daryl, JJ, and Jacob, my three managers at Cultivate Colorado. Say hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Hey-o. They're very enthusiastic people.
Impromptu podcast.
No, this was totally planned out. I just sprung it on you guys at the last minute.
Stick to the script, Daryl. Stick to the script.
Come on. There's a whiteboard over there, and you're supposed to read it. So here today, we're in San Francisco. We're at the Maximum Yield Trade Show. We come here once a year. When was the last time we came here? It's been a couple of years, huh?
Last trip was what? I'm not sure which one.
So we're here at the Maximum Yield Trade Show, and the purpose of this trade show is to present the newest technologies for indoor horticulture, as well as the old technologies, the old companies. They're trying to make some deals. So this weekend, the four of us are in San Francisco looking for that new, the best of the best. And Daryl, yes. tell us who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Daryl.
My name's Daryl. I'm 5'10", 5'11". Manage the bucktail.
What's the weight? What's the weight?
It's hard to tell. But probably right around 175.
Left hand, right hand.
I'm a righty. Righty.
Both staff or?
How much do I bench? I'm not really sure. It's been a little while.
Very health conscious crew here. Daryl, you run.
I'm over at the 666 Bucktail location.
Bucktail location.
Right off of I-25 and Washington Emerson.
Right. What's your website? Wash Park Association.
Nobody bring up the website.
Shh. We don't have a website. Shh. Do not look up cultivatecolorado.com. It's not brown.
Hey, it's work in progress. Work in progress here. So,
and the Wheat Ridge store is closed, so don't go there.
Don't go there. Delivery only. So we've all been together here in operation for a number of years. We've seen this industry and the legal, medical, and cannabis industry grow in Colorado from 2009 to what it is today. We've seen people show up with $2 and make $1 million. We've seen people show up with $1 million and make two. Topic of today's conversation is going to be the future of cannabis. I believe I have three of the top experts in have the pulse on the market here with JJ, Daryl, and Jacob, managing the largest stores in the galaxy. They see the customers, what the customers are buying. They see the trends. They understand the patterns. They understand the technology better than anyone in the universe, known universe, that is. Let's start with you, Jacob. What do you see in the future trends of cannabis?
The thing that we were just talking about a little bit ago, actually, is what you see changing right now with all the extracts going on, and not just the THCs. Like, you see all these guys growing massive amounts of hemp just to pull the CBDs out of it.
Right, concentrates.
Big thing with that is I think they're doing the hemp right now because the laws are so open for it.
Right.
Where the laws will open up further soon for marijuana to be done like that, where you'll see the CBD extracts push even farther because you won't be stuck strictly with hemp. Also, you see the terpenes coming out of that. So I think the extract game is going to grow a lot exponentially. And you're going to see, Merck, Pfizer, all those companies trying to push into it right now, but they're going to get pushed right back out of it.
That's a common thing people say is that the larger corporations are going to come in. How do you think they're going to get pushed out?
And to the fact with the CBDs, as JJ was just saying, is that it is something that is already legal in all 50 states. It is something that you can sell in all 50 states.
But you can only produce it.
You can only produce it in about 7 states, however. So big corporations see a product that they can sell in all 50 states. It's clearly going to be very appealing if it's something new to the market, something that people are interested in, and something that's easily accessibly grown and grown in quantities and easily produced.
Big Pharma also always had a stranglehold on the development of the science and the medicine aspects. Where with this, they're not going to be able to control that because it's been around for a long time. There's a lot of grassroots science that's already gone into it and historical usage. So Big Pharma is not going to be able to stranglehold the technology and the science like they have with every other development in medicine.
Well, you know, interestingly, we looked at a lease on a building down in Colorado Springs last year, and a hemp organization that was doing extracts got the lease out from under us. They paid more for it because they supposedly had a $30 million contract to produce CBD.
Same thing with the boys out of Columbia right now. With Farmacielo, got a gigantic contract with the government of Colombia, also lined up with the export laws through Canada to sell to Big Pharma in Canada, since they have to skip the United States, and then the farmer will be able to sell it into the United States right now.
Right, right. So they're growing it in foreign countries, Czechoslovakia, or that's not the right region, is it? What's the region they're producing?
Czech, Romania, Hungary, out there, somewhere in the
Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe,
you get it. Right, right.
But with that coming to the forefront and it being known as medication, it really is something that can go full spectrum and really cover every single country because it's not illegal. It's not an illicit drug.
The big thing that I'm saying, though, is Big Pharma is not going to be able to control the supply of it. When you're looking for pharmaceutical like chemicals, it's really tightly controlled for the supply of those. With marijuana, they're not going to be able to control that.
Sorry, Daryl's decided he needed to take a drink break. He's having a problem.
We've heard so much from Daryl tonight, too.
Getting the
Daryl's focused on
getting the cap off.
He's a little bit more of the liquid courage.
Well, you know, that's the thing I really like about my podcast is I encourage all of my podcast participants to just act normal, have a good time in the conversation, smoke or drink whatever they want. You know, it's a relaxing time, and Daryl's over there pouring himself and another drink, which is totally fine. Hey, when he gets back over here, we'll have a toast. How about that?
It sounds good.
Yeah, I think Big Pharma, I think that they're just waiting to come into the marketplace as soon as the laws change a little bit. Currently with 280E laws restricting how people get taxed on the production of the cannabis, it's causing a lot of big corporations not to want to be involved. The scheduling of cannabis is also causing corporations not to be involved. So as long as that still remains the same, it's going to keep a lot of people out of it. It's going to keep the big financial players out of it. It's going to keep the big pharmaceutical players out of it.
Weren't they just going to change the scheduling, or didn't they just change the scheduling?
Obama's been trying to change the scheduling before he gets out of office. But
supposedly in August of 2016, the DEA is going to release a statement on the scheduling. They were supposed to release it in June, and they put it off to August.
But in terms of making for big corporations jumping on board with especially cannabis, like big corporations like Marlboro, they've already come out and said that jump on until it's incorporated in
all. Well, yeah, that's what they say, but you know they're doing the RD on it.
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely doing the
RD. You know,
we've heard a million stories, rumors, though, that like, oh, they bought all this land in northern Colorado or southern Colorado. Or
yeah, but I've been hearing
subsidiary.
Those rumors have been going on in California for years, too.
So that's all nonsense.
I think it's just nonsense, like the turkey bag rumors, like the
turkey bag rumors.
Turkey bag rumors, please explain.
Let's hear that.
You don't know the turkey bag? Okay, so there's an urban legend in northern California, and everybody says that they were there at the grocery store the day it happened.
My brother's sister's wife's cousin was over there.
Yeah,
I was at the grocery store.
He was at the grocery store when it happened. So one day, Turkey Bags, Oven Roasters, Reynolds, was looking at their sales and said, well, goddamn, we're selling a shitload of bags over there in Northern California. In Willits County, they buy more turkey bags than any place per capita. We should go see what's going on. So urban legend has it that they rolled up to Murphy's Market or the Safeway or Food Lion or whatever the hell it was, dollar store of Willits, California. And some people say they were having a barbecue. Some people say they were just walking around asking questions. And they're like, so what, do you guys have a turkey farm around here or something? Is that why you're selling all these turkey bags? And someone clued them in that people are actually putting pounds of marijuana in the turkey bags, pounds of cannabis in the turkey bags. And at this point, the urban legend, supposedly the Reynolds people, packed up their truck and left. So that's the turkey bag story.
They wanted no part of it.
They didn't want any part of it. I don't really believe it happened.
But they didn't stop their supply of it.
No, they didn't stop. No, I don't believe it happened.
I mean,
but I'll tell you what
literally happened with Philips, though.
The Philips and the bulbs.
I believe that.
That did happen with Philips and the bulbs, for sure. Or, well, a similar thing. They just didn't want to be involved in the cannabis industry, so they stopped selling bulbs to people who were selling lights to the cannabis industry.
Reynolds is still selling turkey bags, just Reynolds like the USPS is still delivering postages. They might not know what's in those boxes, but we all do.
Just got an ounce in the mail.
Flagship box.
Flat ray box.
I had this
Two
great
pounds.
I had this great shirt when I was a kid that said had a picture of a US Postal Service emblem, but it had the Joker guy as the actual person in the emblem, right? And then it said 2 days, £2, $2. Because at the time there was a promotion where you could buy these $2 stamps, right? And anything that you could fit in the fucking box was $2. So the future of cannabis is concentrates and extracts, vape pens, shatter, wax, dab, wheat, wax, dab. What are the other things they call this concentrate?
CBD.
Distillate.
CBD distillate.
And the clear, that's
the
also
clear is real popular. Distillate. The terpenes.
The terpene extracts.
Terpene extracts
real popular.
Rosin is real popular.
Rosin.
Really, yeah. Any way you can get your cannabis in the purest form. Really, anything without solvents is probably what's going to come to the forefront, because people are going to realize that the solvents in there are what's taken away from the cannabis and may be causing health defects. So anything solventless, such as rosin or distillate or the clear.
What is the clear?
The clear, it's distillate. It's 93-96%. Pure THC. They basically take all the crap. You know, you can make it several different ways. You make an initial extract.
You make like a BHO extract.
Either BHO, alcohol,
CO2,
and then you take that and you run it through a series of distillers. This distillate, I believe that's what they call it. And that separates the CBD or the THC. I might be talking out of my ass right here. I'm sure some reader is going to say, no, Chip, it's actually like this. It's a still that takes this extract product and further refines it to 92%, 96% in the 90s. It becomes clear. It strips it of all the terpenes. It doesn't have any flavor or taste. So the beauty of it is you can shove anything in one side of it. And then you'll get a 92%, 93%.
Just clear THC flavor. It's just THC.
It's odorless, tasteless.
And the magic of it is that you can then add terpenes back into it. So if you want to achieve a certain flavor, you get the THC.
You can hit a 92% THC,
you get the
and
terpenes.
Then you can put your flavors back
exactly.
As you wish.
Right, absolutely.
So it's kind of like mix and match your own.
So places like The Workshop, they have done significant research in terpene profile. So they'll have like Trainwreck and OG and Sour Diesel, and they've examined the terpene profiles of each one of those cannabises. They'll make a 92%, 96% pure clear, and then they'll add an in-house made terpene complex that is just like Trainwreck or just like OG Kush or just like Bubba Kush. So you can go to them. This is not, I'm not sponsored by The Workshop, but they could sponsor me if they wanted to, mostly with lots of free clear.
Hey, we'll test for you, too.
Yeah, we'll test for you. And that's an actual physical human trial.
You don't test it on monkeys, you don't test it on machines.
Yeah, no machines.
I will personally test it for you. I'll tell you how it is. Tell you how I feel.
It's a great pen delivery system. So many people are coming to cannabis new. Daryl's kind of coming to cannabis new right now. He tried it once as an earlier person, a younger person.
I didn't inhale.
He didn't inhale.
Did not inhale.
Didn't inhale. You've come to cannabis a little late in your life, or you've been away for it for a while. You were maybe involved with it for several years.
I took an extended vacation away from it.
Yeah, you had a family, a kid. You kind of grew up. You got a real job. You did some other stuff. Now you're back. So you just started smoking weed again this year, right?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, just a few months ago, actually.
So how long had it been?
8 years.
8 years. So in those 8 years, is there anything that's changed? Because you never were away from it. You were still, you know, like involved in the peripheral. You still worked at the grocery stores. You were still around it all.
Not that much has changed about the flower. It's just a bunch of different crossbreeding and strains.
People are still had Sour Diesel and OG Kush 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Watermelon Kush.
So, same thing, different names. All the extracts and all that, that's definitely new. It's definitely getting technical, and they can do a lot more these days than they ever could back then.
Did they have hash back then? Is that what they called it?
They did.
Back then, hash, 8 years ago.
Hash, oil, but...
It was bubble hash, huh? That's what they had? That's what bubble. It was bubble. So have you tried any of the quote-unquote modern concentrates yet?
I have not.
Oh, that's right. No. That's what Jacob was saying earlier. Make it. Well, we'll have to get in some this weekend. San Francisco, I'm sure we can find some somehow. Don't you think?
Maybe. If we look.
If we look. What's different? That's what we're trying to get into. What's the real dirt on this? What's different?
In Colorado, the widespread acceptance of weed everywhere and by everybody.
Is there a difference in the products, difference in the marijuana? What difference is you driving in?
Yeah, I mean,
the products, the nutrients, the lights, the atmosphere, the marijuana products themselves, all that has changed since you left.
Yeah, well, the technology, I mean, really, in 8 years, there's been only a handful.
A lot of shit that came out that didn't stick, but a lot of things came out.
T5 lights, double-ended lights, double ends,
plasma technology came out but didn't hit.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, let's not even talk about all the stuff that failed. The only thing
ceramic metal halides are starting to catch.
Lights is the biggest and newest invention, but it's been around for a while.
But
it's been popular for that long at least.
Ceramic metal halides came out; those are starting to catch. They're not as big as the DEs, but they've caught.
Right.
T5s have taken over.
Right.
The nutrients have changed tremendously. Just all the different companies coming out and all the advances.
There's
the
a lot of new ones.
Yep.
There's not a little, but not much difference though. I mean,
yeah, new stuff, but it's the same product.
It's the same old products. There's like, maybe there's some more biological products or.
There's a bunch more biological products. Nothing new really got discovered. It's just being implemented into the industry now. Right. There's been a handful of things that came from just that were academia because they weren't cost effective for commercial crops.
Old patents and whatnot.
Right, for commodity crops that weren't viable.
It really hasn't changed much in 8 years.
I mean, double-end lights are just the HID, HPS light.
I mean, they had double-end lights back then. But it's the
same gardening techniques.
Same techniques.
The atmosphere has changed considerably.
It's the same ingredients. It's just we're applying them in different ratios, I guess, different companies.
Have you noticed anything different about the cannabis itself? Is it the same weed to get you high the same way? Is it any stronger?
No.
It's no stronger?
No.
No. Right. Well, the tests of cannabis would say it's stronger, though, right? Right, because now
I just think it's more technical now. We were just able to test it, whereas before we never tested it. Nobody ever knew. We just knew it was good.
Right.
And that's why we liked it.
8 years ago, what made weed good? You look at a sack of weed.
Smell, mm-hmm. Taste,
mm-hmm.
Aroma.
How was it packaged back then? I love how I'm saying back in 1900 and back in 2008. How did they package the weed?
Because it depends where it was coming from.
It was a wooden bucket.
Yes.
So
how'd they package M39 back then, Daryl?
Ziploc bags, wet and flat.
Yeah, half pound at a time. So it was like sandwich bags still.
Yeah.
Eight sold in sandwich bags?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Had medical cannabis had started, right? Had you been into a medical cannabis store back then? No, it hadn't started really, huh?
It had been legal since 2000, but the stores didn't start popping up until 2008.
Yeah, right. It took a while.
So they were there, but they didn't blow up, I would say, until the end of 2009.
Yeah, it took a minute. Yep. It took a minute.
And then they were on every corner.
Right. So have you been into a recreational cannabis place yet?
Not so many actual dispensaries.
Mm-hmm. Not
plenty
actually,
of grows.
Plenty of grows, right.
Yep.
Right, but not a dispensary.
No. Right.
We should go into one next week. will go into a dispensary and buy a sack of weed on the business, of course, strictly for research purposes. So we get to interact with so many different growing customers in Colorado. I mean, we literally service the largest cannabis growers probably in the world, literally. I mean, we've been joking about the largest store in the galaxy and whatnot, but our customers have 1,000 lights, 1,500 lights, acres of greenhouses. What's changed about our customers? Because it's the same people, right?
It's honestly not the same people anymore. You would think it would be the same people. You'd think it'd be growers. You'd think it'd be people that were actually out there in the fields applying the agricultural side to it. But the whole cannabis industry has become so much more of an actual business that the people controlling what's going into the plants are basing that off of what's fiscally, financially available to them.
So many people are coming from outside the industries for sure. And now cannabis farms have CFOs and CEOs and directors of marketing and HR departments and billing departements. And before it was just like one dude,
Just one person out there.
Just one person out there. That's all they needed. Just one person. The weed, slinging the weed, right?
Do you feel like the quality of the weed's gone down since then?
Absolutely. Definitely. I would say absolutely. Definitely.
So many people have entered the marketplace that don't know anything about the cultural aspect of cannabis. And
I feel they're turning into a commodity. Before there was like, I feel like there's more development of the actual product itself.
Colorado has definitely made it a commodity because now every 6 months they release the price, average price per pound.
And they also give you the amount that has been made by tax dollars too and where that tax dollars has been set.
Yeah, right.
Did they tell you where those tax dollars were spent? I thought there was a bunch of it unaccounted for.
I mean, they told you vaguely where it's roads.
We spent it.
And my cousin, my cousin Jacob, he's got a gravel company, and we need some gravel on the roads.
And my cousin Vinny, you know, he does bridges real good. And every now and then the bridge
but it's
doesn't
for the
work
kids.
Out in the right spot. But
it's
yeah, we're making
kids.
Schools, we're planting grass.
We're definitely planting grass. Yeah, well, we're having a good time here tonight. We've had a couple of drinks for sure. We're in the City of Love. This is the 50th. Anniversary of the Summer of Love. You guys realize that?
Yes. I was unaware.
Yeah, I think that's when this apartment was built, as a matter of fact. We're in an incredible VRBO. The wallpaper here is authentic. We'll say that to the Summer of Love. All right. Well, there we go. We'll have a break right here with Real Dirt with Chip Baker, and we'll roll some up a little later on. All right. Break, wasn't it?
Bacillus thuringiensis.
We must have rolled up like 7 joints in that break right there. I can't even. Jacob, you're pro.
I am pro.
You're pro.
Anyone wants to question me on how pro I am about rolling joints? I'd like to see you come to my house. I'd like to see you challenge me, because I'll take you down.
But hey, feel free. Any guests that want to stop by, drop off some weed, feel free.
Dab rig.
Send us some. No problem. We take donations. We want to see. We want the best. We're looking for the best. If you happen to have some, bring some by. Stop by any of our studios here. Isn't that a good plug?
We have.
Well, I
don't need to know.
Well, I mean, technically, I have a Humboldt studio and I have a Denver studio. That's where we've done most of the work, Humboldt and Denver. Right now, we're in our San Francisco studio. I'm sure the audience can hear that it's slightly different in this room. the natural acoustics are slightly different.
It's the ocean rolling in.
And there we are. We are. We're like four blocks from the ocean. We're on the corner of Verbitti Street. You can probably like hear this truck passing by right now.
I'd like to think of that truck as the ocean.
Yeah.
Have another one.
So we're talking about the future of cannabis and the changes of industry, changes in technology. We've talked about the changes of strains. We've talked about the different technologies, the different fertilizers. What about the different techniques? Have techniques changed anywhere? What's the future of the technique of cannabis farming?
I'd say the general techniques haven't changed as far as like the scrogging, cloning, things like that. Guys are just picking up their techniques on that. The big thing that's rolled through Colorado is recently regulation is starting to change all these things.
Right, bureaucracy.
Yeah, the bureaucracy is actually starting to come in on it with before they let it be just a cowboy industry and anybody could pop up and do what they want. They start with licensing. Now they actually have pushed into the product itself, where they're checking what's put in there. Like, what was the edible we opened earlier?
What did we eat earlier? A lucky edible.
Lucky edible. When you peel back the lucky edible, what we saw in there was may have been grown with, how many pesticides did it list?
Probably 15 different pesticides on the list. Not to say that they were all used, but that's what's in their arsenal.
And with that's part of that whole grow technique that we see changing, where these guys were set in their ways of using Mycobutanol and spermethacin and all these other pesticides. And those all came off the list overnight.
We should make a children's song comprised of pesticides.
Bacillus thuringiensis.
Bacillus sat there in geese's.
As a decorate is one of my best friends.
Subtilis. Potassium salts and
azadectin is one of my best friends.
And some oils too, with some botanical extracts. We'll have to work on that. I think there's a hip hop song there.
What are the delineations for what's making that list, not making that list for the CDA?
The currently it's just a labeling issue. It's just a labeling issue.
Yeah. Because it's not labeled for use in cannabis?
Yep. Yep.
But it seems like the only things that are making it on there are completely like 25B hippie oils.
It's all the stuff that can be sold anywhere and used for general garden use. So that's what's legal.
But explain to me this then. So like these products are...
Riddle me this.
Exactly. These products are super restricted where basically you can use like extract oils. Where if I go to Home Depot, I can buy the most toxic things on earth.
Right, but it's labeled specifically for crops. So at Home Depot, if you're buying it for your backyard crops, you're in an unregulated industry. But if you go to Home Depot and you buy it for your commercial crops, say like your grapes or your tomatoes, and you're growing 10 acres of tomatoes, but you're using a pesticide that's regulated for cucumbers and not tomatoes, that's technically against the law, and that's what's going on. It's not that it's a health and human safety issue with the pesticide regulation.
So with the addition of cannabis, say, to this new legal market that's not coming out of the closet, basically, it's coming out, it's everyone knows it's legitimate now. Before, you couldn't put on a pesticide for producing marijuana because it wasn't legal. How long will it take for those pesticides to start adapting and putting on their label for use in commercial marijuana?
It's too expensive.
I heard Eagle 20 was going to do it soon. I mean, I don't know who that company is, but like
that would be amazing.
an urban myth as well. I'd heard that Eagle 20's revenues went up substantially as soon as cannabis farmers found it. I'm not sure if this is true.
For people that don't know, Eagle 20 is a systemic fungicide.
A systemic fungicide that treats powdery mildew and botrytis in cannabis plants. One of the major causes of
crop failure,
right. Botrytis and powdery mildew.
But is Eagle 20 approved for any food crops?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots.
I thought in California it was a...
California's a bunch of dirty hippies that don't want anything. Everywhere else in the world, they spray Eagle 20 on your apples the day they're harvested just so they don't mold on the way to the grocery store. Absolutely. That's why they...
No, they don't do that, but there are products that they can that are like that. But yeah, I don't... Right.
I'm sure they do spray Eagle 20 like up to the day of flower on Like on up to the day of production.
Well, if we had a Eagle 20 regulation, we could. But yeah,
we need a computer right here.
Yeah, right. No, I think stuff like the what's the acetic acid and the hydrogen peroxide product? What's that called?
Xeritol.
Like that stuff is like up to harvest use for PM, right? And they can literally like wash off fruit and vegetables with it, right? But imagine taking your like cannabis buds glistening in trichromes, just harvested, full of terpenes, man, and you dunk it in Xeritol, or you dunk it in what's the other product name?
Microbutanol.
Oxidate. Right, because now you're washing off all the PM and all the powder mildew and the crystal.
You're basically just taking your perfectly prime buds and dumping it in hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, that is one of the ways people do it, right?
Right? A lot of people are doing that, though.
It's awful.
Or the microwave.
We definitely need to... I wish we really could promote, like, better usage, best practices, right? But it's so money-oriented, people don't want to hear it. And it's so difficult to do some things, like... not spray your flowers with any pesticide or fertilizer, right? That's a hard one to do.
Yeah, that's a gardening technique that needs to be learned too, though.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of these guys have just been able to use the most toxic chemicals on earth without even understanding what they're spraying.
Right.
And it all comes full circle back to the healthy plants.
Right.
Healthy plants will be resistant to disease. They will be resistant to bugs.
Right, right.
They will be able to flourish in any environment.
If you have a clean environment, started off with clean plants, have done everything you possibly can to get rid of every pest you can in any manner you can before you flower, then you'll be fine.
Bottom line,
right. Right. Maybe a one mite shows up, maybe one PM shows up. You know, I see Daryl smirking over there. Did the ganja food hit you?
No, I'm good.
How were those lucky edibles?
They tasted really good.
Let's dream a little bit. What is the future? What's happening in the future? Not what's happened in the past.
I mean, hopefully in the future we see cannabis legal in all 50 states.
Cannabis legal in all 50 states in how many years, Jacob?
I'd like to see it within the next 7 years. There's no reason for it not to be legal. It's already been proven not to be harmful. It's been proven multiple times on the benefits it could have for different people with different diseases, different people with different sorts of anxiety, different every sort of treatment it can be useful for. It should be useful for, and it should be available to everybody. America, first of all, land of the free, home of the brave. No reason why we shouldn't be able to smoke a plant that we want to smoke.
Roll it up.
Tobacco kills people every year.
Do you think when it falls in the United States, it's going to pretty much fall worldwide?
No. I think it will. Yeah, totally. Because Canada, because
there's
America,
too many conventions
US.
Between other countries that just they can't have that without everybody else changing with them.
Well, our war on drugs, we push that all over the world.
Yeah.
Right. So that, I mean, that's why it's so criminal in so many other places, because our ideals over it. And once that changes, then yeah, I do think it's going to change all over the world. It's already starting to.
Do you think it's going to become fully commoditized?
Eventually, yes.
Do you think
sure,
it's going to be on the Chicago Board of Trade?
Especially, I don't know about that. I don't know.
It's going to become more.
There's only a handful of commodity products, though, right?
Most of the crops are commodity products.
Well, cucumbers aren't commodities, but wheat is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you look back in history, marijuana and or hemp used to be a commodity product.
Right, right. Wait, what are the biggest things that are going to happen with hemp 10 years from now?
They're going to start to use the fibers again.
Fiber, seed.
Yeah. But using the fibers, they're going to be pulling tons of terpenes and CBDs
paper,
in the
clothes,
extract
food.
Process.
You could feed the world with hemp, honestly.
I think it's going to be cement. I think people are going to take the
hemp. You know, there's only a few places in the world where they can truly commercially mine the Portland cement that's used to make concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Lafarge, that's a couple of the big countries or big companies, and there's only a couple places in the world, and that's why the price of concrete continues to rise.
Yeah, right. And to be able to cut that concrete with something like hemp dust and lighten the concrete out but still increase your tensile strength, it's a perfect thing. It's a raw material that's locally available. If you're growing hemp in all 50 states or all over the world, then you import your Portland cement from the one of several places in the world to your local area, you blend in now your local ingredients, your sand, your rock, your hemp fiber and dust, right? You've created a stronger product, it's lighter, and it's a local medium, right? And that's what makes cement great, is you take local products, sand and rock, and mix it with an imported product.
If you use hemp to start replacing plastics, that would be unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And I know they're driving down that path. I have no idea how far they are on that.
You know, you just have to ship it. That's where I'm getting at with the cement. Cement's used and built in every community worldwide, pretty much, right? Every community worldwide has some cement in it, more than likely right now. And if you can grow hemp within the community, then it's just like the sand and it's just like the gravel. But if it's plastics, it's a different story. You have to ship it to Texas or Louisiana. That's where all the plastic shit's made.
And hemp is also a renewable product.
Hemp's a renewable product, right?
It's very fast growing. It's very quick to harvest. The turnover rate is very, very quick compared to anything else that's traditionally used to make paper.
Yep.
Traditionally used to make wood byproducts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To make fiber, to make cotton.
Absolutely. Wow, the glasses of gin are going down real easy tonight, guys.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
Pretty
sea level, sea level.
Sea level. So we talked about hemp. We've talked about the politics a little bit. We've talked about the past and what's recently changed. What about weed itself? Well, we've talked about concentrates and how we think cannabis is going to concentrates. What about the money? How's the money going to change in cannabis?
I mean, we already see that happening right now with Scott's, whatever that group is.
Hawthorne Group.
Yeah, but look at that. It's fully owned by Scott's.
Hawthorne Group is buying several horticultural companies associated with cannabis. That would be General Hydroponics, Vermicrop,
Gavita.
Right. And then on the other side of it, you see a company like CPS. Company? Which one?
The pesticide Monsanto? That they own. No, that Hawthorne Group owns.
Oh, they bought a pesticide.
Actinovate.
They did buy them.
They were the first one to buy. Actinovate
bought by them was bought by Central Garden.
I think it was bought by Hawthorne.
It was definitely bought by.
But continuing on the buyouts, then you got Central Garden on the other side just bought like Earth Juice. I think they're looking at buying somebody else right now.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But with Hawthorne Group, you also get Azimax.
Azimax is bought by them because that's part of the GH family.
Is Azisol not owned by them as well?
Azisol is Arborjet out of the East Coast.
Arborjet?
Yeah. So you got a bunch of these buyouts happening. What was the other one that was happening?
So consolidation through buyouts.
I mean, House and Garden Banner Swan just got bought by an American company.
I mean, I just got bought out.
Exactly.
Right? Right.
Oh, CPS. CPS is $11 billion a year, and they are they're looking at our industry now.
CPS,
crop production services.
Totally.
Yeah, they're interested in
there's basically insurance for your crop.
Exactly.
Is that how it works? Is that what's going on with this?
That's what they're trying to sell.
They sell all kinds of stuff, right?
They sell a whole different range. They're like soybean and corn consultants.
Yeah.
But they're the biggest ones in the world. They're starting to get interested in the industry. But if you look at somebody like, going back to the whole Scott's, Hawthorne Group, they're going to start trying to push to Home Depot? What are they going to do? They've already released a line inside of Home Depot.
I think Hawthorne's major play is we've now seen them buy media, which is soil, lights, and nutrients. And if we look at our PL or any other grow store's PL, what's going to be the top items on that show?
Yeah, but look at the way
it's
going to
be soil, nutrients, and
lights.
They've
come from a hobby market. They've come from selling you bullshit for your lawn, for the weekend warriors.
Hawthorne
Group. That's what they come from, and that's what they understand. And they're doing the same thing with their Black Magic product release. And what was the thing that we said about our customers?
I've noticed that's
them. Our customers are going the opposite direction, and yet they're going towards the hobby people.
I've noticed this Black Magic part. That's a Hawthorne.
That's 100% though. That's GH.
Home Depot.
Product. That's a Scott's product.
That's a GH product that's released. That's a GH Scott's in the Home Depot.
That's how they're trying to get their
foot. They bought GH, that came out, and that's through them.
Yeah, I saw a commercial over that product where they were growing indoor, you know, making all these references to growing indoor.
Yeah, I have no idea. Is it like a one part, two part, three part? What is it?
No, well, I just saw the soil, Black Magic soil.
Okay.
Right.
Sounds a little racist to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, totally. Yeah, Home Depot's trying to step on our toes. So consolidation, bigger industry is going to come out and buy up all the smaller industry.
Yeah, but I don't feel those companies necessarily understand the industry that they're coming at. They're coming at it from a hobbyist perspective, and that's the opposite of where this market's going.
Yeah, they're just seeing dollars.
Yep.
Right, they're seeing dollars. And like I've said numerous times, everyone who's ever smoked a joint thought they could make $1 million over the weed, including the Hawthorne people. You know they're sitting around smoking weed right now going, man, if we just spend a few more $1 million, I think we could make $1 million, man. Oh, hell. The real dirt. So let's talk terminology, man. You guys are at the ground level. You guys hear people come in the shop every day. I'm wondering if there's some lingo or terminology that you might be able to spring to our listeners here.
Are we looking for an urban dictionary?
Slang, a little slang, what people call stuff.
I'd say for good quality marijuana, you hear flame.
Flame. They'll go, they got the fire.
They got the fire. You hear fire? You hear flame?
Flame, fire.
You hear dank?
Dank, flame, fire, dank.
You hear that Buku Jones?
Buku Jones. I got that Buku Jones.
we're out of the Bay Area. If you want an eighth, you can say, hey, let me get a KD number 35, Kevin Durant.
Give me a KD.
Let me get a KD. They're about to come out with a new $20 bill as well.
A $20 bill?
Yeah. Harriet Tubman. So instead of a dub sack, it's about to be a tub sack.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yo, man, I need a tub.
Yo, man, let me get a tub sack, man. On the underground, man.
Give me a tub, man. I need that shit. It was like railroad. Make you feel like
on the railroad, man. Let me get that tub.
Give me the tub sack.
If I got a little bit extra money, let me get that KD.
My boss gives me that little raise.
Get a KD up.
A little KD. Yep. So what do you guys call your customers? Do you have any slang for them in the store? Good people that bring us money. Hey, I'm just going to brag about our shop and our customers and our people, our employees. We got the best customers. We've got the best employees. We treat everybody incredible. Everyone, we're trying to help, no matter if they've got one light or 150 or 1,500. Everybody's the same that walks in the door.
That's right.
Right? You could have no money or $1 million, and we're going to treat you the same.
Preach.
Yep.
Preach. Word.
Tell them. Right.
Also, new common terminology.
New common preach. Terminology. Preach.
It's basically just anything that's good. You want to hear someone keep talking? Preach, brother.
All right. So if you had a tip you could give anybody, Daryl, one tip that were coming into the industry or already in the industry, give some advice.
Don't get caught.
He just dropped the mic. If you couldn't see it because you're listening to the radio, he just dropped the mic and
walked out the room. Ching.
Daryl will not be with us anymore tonight.
Are you speaking from past history or future here, Daryl? Right?
No.
For the people coming new into the industry, don't get caught doing what?
Growing weed.
Oh.
As legal as it seems, the feds.
Smoking the reefer.
Don't agree with you.
People don't agree with you. You're right. And even in our state, we have customers that are completely legal, followed off Colorado state laws. And something happens out the side of the state with someone else that doesn't even involve them, and the federal government comes back to Colorado.
You know, even though the state of Colorado is legal, there's a large portion of the state that does not have dispensaries and does not allow commercial growing. They don't allow the sale of it.
They still allow the possession, though. They can't do anything about that, right?
Yeah, it's their constitutional right.
Hell yeah, constitutional right in the state of Colorado that I can grow six plants. Yeah. What about you, JJ? Do you have any advice? Have one thing you could say?
One thing is this for the grower or for the business owner?
Anybody. One
growers,
piece of advice.
Two real quick, easy answers: A, lots of foliars, and B, keep it clean.
Keep it clean. Yeah. You heard it here.
Spray
it clean.
A lot. Keep it clean.
Lots of foyers. What about from the business owners?
Read your ass off. Don't just jump, spend money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We've seen people spend literally $1,000 and make millions. And we've seen people spend millions of dollars and make no money.
You can't throw money at it.
You can't throw money at it. You got to have an organized plan.
And pay your employees.
And the big thing, is you can't just jump in and think that your millions of dollars are going to make you grow $1 million a pot. You have to step down and work with the guys that know how to grow the pot. You got cash doesn't mean you know anything about growing weed. And you see these dudes come with all this cash that don't know shit.
It's not an industry that you can buy success in.
No, not at all.
You know, we say that, but what do you think the failure rate is in Colorado?
I mean, failure to what? There's failure on lost opportunity because once you get the license and you've paid for that, that's an asset that's hard to obtain right now.
Hey, I know. And, you know, we were in a place recently. I don't know if it was maybe. No, I think I was there solo. And these guys got 400 lights. They're going a half a pound of light, right? But they're selling this shit for top dollar. So they're making $6,000 a pound, $6,200 a pound or something. So each light's making them $3,000 a pound. Well, dude's just bought his mom a house. He's driving a Maserati. What's he doing wrong? Right?
Lost opportunity.
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, explaining that to somebody is what they're lost
driving
opportunity.
A Maserati.
He's driving a Maserati. He's
yourself.
Like, what's that, JJ? Jacob, what about you? Advice, bit of advice?
Don't get it over your head. You got to take it slow. You got to take it systematically.
Yeah.
Just because it is a new industry doesn't mean that anybody can jump into it and just take off.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not driving a taxi cab.
Yeah, and with that is be cautious who you're taking advice from.
Yeah.
No doubt, man.
If he's driving an 87 Honda,
everybody's
you might want to think twice. He don't know how to go weed.
Magic.
All of a sudden, in the last 2 years, everybody's turned into a consultant.
No doubt.
Everybody has experience. Everybody knows how to make your grow better. And the truth is... They might not.
You know the funny thing about some of the... I've got some great consultants, and we've hired and worked with some, and, you know, I love my consultants. But some of the funny thing about consultants I hear in the cannabis industry, I ran a couple of cannabis businesses, and I got regulated out of that business, and I failed at that business. So now I'm a consultant. And it's like, wait, you just failed at your business.
You failed three times, and
you
now
failed
you're
three times,
man.
And now... You're a consultant. Doesn't quite make sense to me.
It doesn't quite make sense to me either.
No, no. Awesome. Well, this has been a great little impromptu
piece of advice.
Oh, my piece of advice.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just going to give a general piece of advice for cannabis growers and business owners. And I've made this mistake with every single business I've started. Probably started 6 or 7 businesses. Most of them been successful to some degree. Have an organized plan and be well-funded. If you have an organized plan and you're funded, then you can make things happen. Almost every business I've started has been underfunded and I've struggled at it. And I had my organization and my plan down and it always could have been better. But organization, plan, well-funded. 3 keys to success.
Simple enough.
So, isn't it though? Excellent. Well, this has been a fine evening here in our studio in San Francisco overlooking the beautiful Pacific Ocean with my 3 guests, Jacob Sarabia.
No less.
JJ Keaton.
No less.
And Daryl Sousa.
Gave it up voluntarily.
He gave it up voluntarily. right. I actually knew his last name. I just wanted him to give it up. Yeah, this is the real dirt. We got down to some dirt today, don't you think, guys? We got a little dirt.
Yeah,
we did get down some dirty. We did get down and dirt, down and dirty. All right, well, stay dirty, my friends. Real dirt.
That might be the best ending thing right there. Stay dirty, my friends.
Stay dirty, my friends. I'd like to thank all of our guests for participating in this fun project. Thanks for sharing your stories and bringing your weed. Huge thanks goes out to Cannacraft. They're leading the way in medicinal cannabis throughout California. I'd like to give it up to all the helping hands who helped produce this episode. Appreciate it, Lisa, Willow, David, Chris, Michael, Hollis, and all of our guests here on The Real Dirt.